Today's reading is taken from Philippians chapter 1, reading from verses 12 to 26. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning again, everybody. Can I just encourage you, if you haven't picked up one already, to pick up one of our term cards. They're over in the little information corner, and it'll just tell you how we're progressing week by week. We've chosen the book of Philippians for this term because it's got an incredible message of hope and of good news and of joy. And don't we need that in the midst of times of uncertainty and times when we're not sure what the future holds? So do pick up one of those term cards and do be praying each week. And I guess coming prepared, do read the readings and so on. And if you weren't here for the last 2 weeks, then you can always catch up on the talks on our website. And in the last 2 weeks, Maggie and Bob and Alison and myself have kind of been introducing the book of Philippians. And if you've been here or you're familiar with this book, then you'll know that Paul is writing it from a Roman prison. And the story continues today as Paul reflects on his situation. And I don't know whether you picked up that theme, but it's absolutely incredible that Paul is talking about his time in prison. And he's not telling you about what he's going through, but he's telling you how God has been at work even through the fact that he's been imprisoned. And somehow even through what's happening to him, God is causing the gospel to spread and other people to grow in their confidence. Because just to open up this theme of joy in difficult circumstances, what we find here is that Paul somehow has an amazing perspective on what he's going through. An amazing perspective. So he looks back at all that has happened. And then, did you notice the little thread and how it builds up to a climax? He says, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Now, I'm not going to say too much here for a moment, but as we think about this theme of our circumstances and trouble and suffering and difficulties, we won't feel this necessarily in the midst of the situation, but in time, Paul can look back at what's been happening and he gains a different perspective on his circumstances. And I guess all of us will know, if we had the benefit of hindsight, it would be a wonderful thing. But just for the moment, just notice that Paul has this amazing perspective. He says, because of how it's turning out, I can rejoice. We find as well that Paul has an amazing peace. So actually, he's at a point where he doesn't know what the future holds. He's thinking it's quite likely that he'll be executed. But he thinks that he may be released. So he doesn't really know. But he's got this amazing perspective, which he said, well, whether I live or whether I die, I will continue to rejoice. That's amazing, isn't it? Amazing to have that sense of peace when there's such uncertainty. And I want to challenge myself, and I want us just to sort of think, in the middle of our circumstances and uncertainties, do we have that peace? Do we know that perspective? Now, I just want to tell you that this is not a talk about pulling your socks up and trying harder. You'll see where my thoughts are going in a little bit. Now, we could have also sort of said that there's not only an amazing perspective, an amazing sense of peace, but actually Paul is surrounded by amazing people. Go back to the talks that we had last week. Do you remember Bob and Alison here on the stage? We had Bob in prison. No, Paul in prison. And he has this visit from Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus comes bringing a gift from this church in Philippi. And of course, Paul is then prompted to pray for these people. And actually, he has a deep sense of love and affection for these Philippian Christians. And so, actually, being surrounded by people who know us and love us and support us, that makes all the difference, doesn't it? Now, we're talking about Paul at the moment, and where I'm heading to is about talking about us. But this is where we begin. Paul having this amazing sense of perspective on his circumstances, and a God-given peace about the future, and God's providing people for him. And I guess at the heart of it, when Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, he's got this incredible sense of trust in God, even when he's in a Roman prison. I don't want to make too much of it, but I look back to a time just before Christmas, and those of you who know me will know that I had a bit of sciatica. Quite a lot of sciatica, actually, for about 3 months, a kind of pain that I've never really experienced before. And it lasted from kind of mid-September through to December. Now, I'm not at all comparing what I went through to kind of what Paul is going through. I'm not saying that at all. But what I can tell you is that actually, as that went on, I did have a different perspective on that pain, because in time I could see what God was doing. God was working through that, and in a simple way, I think God was just telling me to slow down. He just wanted me to walk more slowly, because he had things to say to me that I couldn't hear if I was running. And so that made a difference to how I felt about the pain that I had. And I'd also sort of say that because of the people around me, I did have an amazing peace. I just sort of sensed that it was going to be better, that I just needed to be patient. And so I'm really grateful for your prayers and for that sense of peace. But what about when we're going through suffering and trials? What about when we don't have any perspective? We don't understand what's going on. What do we do when whatever happens, we don't feel peaceful? I wonder if you look back on 2018, I wonder if there are things that come to mind for you. Real difficulties and struggle. And maybe you're not out the other side at the moment. Maybe you're still in the midst of it. Is it possible to have joy in the midst of these things? Because all through this letter, you'll see that Paul seems to have an irrepressible joy. It cannot be contained. Whatever happens to him, somehow this joy keeps bubbling up. It's just there. And my question is this morning, is it possible for you and for me to have that joy in the suffering and in the situations that we face? Well, let me tell you about a dear saint of the Lord. And I tell you, this person has been through incredible struggles in the last 2 years. David's not here this morning. And those of you who know David Klein well will know what a battle the last 2 years have been, with illness, needing heart surgery, and he didn't get better from that. And his wife Betty died. And there was a period of about 3 or 4 months when David just couldn't get to church. He was in hospital 2 weeks ago. He's back at home. He's still not able to get out. And those of you who know David well will know something of the struggle that he's been through. And I've kind of had the just amazing privilege of walking with David through some of this. And we're in touch by WhatsApp to kind of encourage one another. And here's a message that David said this week. Because I just sort of said to him, David, how do you do it? How do you have this joy given all that you've going through? And this is what he sent me on WhatsApp. The joy of the Lord is an indwelling joy that does not come or go from anything tangible that we might or might not do, or from circumstances. It's just there. It's a gift from God. Joy in the Lord comes from knowing Him as a person, a friend, my Savior. All I know is that God is on His throne, and while that is so, I can rejoice always. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible testimony from somebody who's just gone through incredible things? What's the secret to that? How do you and I experience that joy? Because it is possible today. I can tell you it is, because I see it in David's life. I wonder if we were to just do a kind of a joy MOT of our own hearts. I wonder if we were being really honest. Now, I'm not talking about impressing people. I'm not talking about putting a brave face on it. I said, if you were to do an honest MOT of your heart and your life and your circumstances right at the minute, I wonder where your joy meter might be. I wonder where my joy meter might be. People talk about what they sometimes call the D's. The things that seem to come at us, which we just cannot prepare for, the difficulties of life, discouragement, depression, sometimes just so much going on that we're just distracted and we can't focus on anything, the doubts that come our way. I wonder if this is your present experience. I wonder if this has been your experience recently. I wonder if you're in the middle of this fog and you cannot see your way through, and you don't know how long it's going to last. Well, I wonder if this has hit you, whether it's the loss of a loved one, bereavement, or some other loss, the loss of your job, or a relationship breakdown, whether that's marriage partner, or a trusted friend, or a family member, or illness that's come upon you, and You just weren't prepared for it. Judith kindly led us to pray for others. And as I look down that prayer sheet week by week and think about the people and the situations, knowing a bit about them, and I just know how many people are battling and struggling with illness and difficulties and going through difficult times. Is it possible to know joy in the midst of that? When we're so crushed that we can't pray, when we're so downhearted that we cannot even read the Bible, when we cannot see our way, is it possible to have joy in the midst of that? There's many other things I could say. It's just the reality of knowing as well that the Christian life is a battle. And we face opposition in all sorts of ways. It might be just little words from a work colleague who just undermining your faith. Somebody who just says something about Christians or Christianity, or they remind you about some scandal in the news about the church. That undermining that happens. Or maybe it's outright opposition to you. I was talking to somebody here last week, talking about their work situation and how in a very short period of time, obviously there was a management move against them. And before they realized it, they were being invited to leave. And just talking to that person about how quickly that situation just happened. Because we know that not only is this life a battle at times, but the Christian life is an incredible battle. So I wonder where we're at this morning. And I wonder wherever we're at, whether it's in one of the downs or in the ups, I wonder what happens to us when these things happen. What happens to our joy meter? What happens to us? And how do we get through? Just a moment. Just shut your eyes for a moment and be honest with the Lord about your struggles, your life. What is the secret of Paul's joy? If I'm being really honest, I'm not totally sure, because I'm not sitting in that cell. But I want us to point us to a couple of verses in this passage. And I think these verses tell me that this irrepressible joy is available to you today, whatever your situation. And of course, I don't mean for a minute that what's going to happen is that this joy is going to flood in and that your situation is going to change and everything's going to be fine and it'll all turn around. I'm talking about the joy that God offers that means whatever your situation, you have this firm place to stand and you too can rejoice in the Lord. I'm just going to read verses 18 and 19. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I think it comes down to this at its heart. First of all, the power of prayer, the power in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus, a real and living, sustained relationship with Jesus. Actually, it was there in what David said to me. Joy in the Lord comes from knowing Him as a person, a friend, my Savior. And the person I spoke to you about who suddenly lost his job, he was invited into a tribunal, and he was asked, do you want somebody to come in to this tribunal with you? And he said to them, I don't need anybody. I'll have Jesus with me in that tribunal. Whether it's in a prison cell, on a hospital bed, whether it's in darkness or bereavement, if you have the reality of Jesus Christ and a living relationship with Him, I think that's the thing that transforms any and every situation. Paul could rejoice in praying friends, those who were praying for him. And I bet that's what they were praying. Lord, we pray for Paul in that prison cell. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to strengthen him and to build him up. Lord Jesus, make yourself really present and really known to him. And this is part of our fellowship, isn't it? It's so good to be praying for those who are in need week by week. But folks, every single one of us needs that. We need to be in relationship. We need to have people we're praying with, whether that's a prayer triplet or a good friend or a house group. We need to be in that place so that we can share what's going on and so that other people can call down and pray for the power and the joy and the peace and the presence of Jesus. And folks, we need the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to live this Christian life without the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What's the source of our joy meter? It's not how good we feel. It's actually, I think, about opening ourselves up, whether we feel empty or half full, and saying, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit. He's the source of joy, I believe. I have to say, I haven't got time to say much about it, but at the start of this week, you know, I was just praying and saying, Lord, if I'm honest and I read this, my joy meter is not not high at the minute. And I'm not going through what Paul was going through, but just my joy meter is not high. And so I just began to pray, and simply praying and asking, Lord, would you, through the course of this week, just fill me afresh with joy? Just let it come again. And I've written towards the end of the week in my journal about, I think it's about 10 things that had happened this week. Some little, some big. And just little by little, the Lord was just raising my joy meter. Helen, I'm going to embarrass you slightly, if she's wondering what I'm going to say now. Helen and I normally meet at 9:30 on a Tuesday morning to do some very serious work, don't we, Helen? We're normally working on church suite and thinking about all sorts of things. But when Helen came at 9:30 on Tuesday, I was just in a really silly mood. I think we just found it hard to get down to any serious work, didn't we? Just that morning in my prayer time, just the Lord filled me with silliness. And it's just that kind of, I just felt a bit of that irrepressible joy just returning. And I can point to no other source than the Lord himself and his Holy Spirit. It's a relationship, a living relationship with Jesus that is the source of our joy. And how precious to be standing with others in prayer and asking for the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of you know Simon Challoner. Simon plays the trumpet here on a Sunday morning. Now, I hope I'm remembering this correctly, but last year Simon had a very serious bleed on the brain. Is that right, Helen? Very serious bleed on the brain. And had to be rushed down to Oxford to be treated. And boy, that was touch and go, that situation. I was in touch with him this week because I remember just how he was carried through that situation. And there's a little slide, and Simon sent this message to me. He said this: I certainly felt that God was with me the whole time I was ill. There's his testimony. God was with me when I was ill. And the whole episode really did put a lot of things in perspective. The 10 weeks off work afterwards came at just the right time. I needed time out from work for various reasons, and it allowed me time to prioritize. Now, just notice that. There's a little bit of perspective there of how God can work through all things to bring about some good. Give him the opportunity to prioritize. It was so very humbling to find out that so many people all over the world were praying for me. And all the prayer worked. I have almost no residual problems. Prayer makes a difference. The presence of Jesus makes a difference. A living relationship with Jesus makes all the difference. But folks, I want to dare to say this. Whether you're healed or not, whether you're delivered or not, whether you find yourself permanently out of work or not, whether or not your health returns or not, we don't know, do we? And yet, the thing that will sustain us through all of that is the prayers of others, the power of the Holy Spirit, and most importantly, a living relationship with Jesus. I loved in the little interview between Bob and Alison last week, and Epaphroditus was asking Paul, you seem to be very positive. Why is that? And these words, Bob put words, if you like, into the mouth of Paul, and he said this: I've never stopped knowing that Jesus is with me. I've never stopped knowing that Jesus is with me. It's kind of really simple in some ways, isn't it? The secret of Paul's joy, the secret of our joy, is knowing Jesus and then knowing that he's with us. Because he knows you, he loves you, and he's promised that he will never leave you. And so Paul can say, whatever the future holds, he can say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He was so bound up with Jesus Christ, his life was so connected to Jesus, that he could say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, I'm not at this stage in my life where I'm thinking it would be better for me by far to depart and be with Christ. I have a sense that there's work still to be done. But deep at the heart of Paul's relationship with Jesus was this desire to be with him. And so actually the thought of death filled him with peace because he knew that it would be to be closer to Jesus, to be with him forever. And that's how the perspective comes. And that's how the peace comes, because we're seeing it through the eyes of Jesus. And so that's what I just want to offer us this morning. And as our service continues, as we take time now to be still in his presence, as we pray, as we worship again, as we gather around the table, I'm just sort of saying to all of us, well, first of all, do you know Jesus? Do you know him as your friend and your Savior? If you don't, I would just love it if you would just to take a step in that direction today and maybe come and talk with one of the team and ask them, how can I know Jesus in the way that you've been talking about? Because I can tell you that will make all the difference to your life. But for all of us, I wonder if it's just an opportunity for us today just to rejoice that we know him, to rejoice in what he's done for us. And as we do that, to be open before him and just ask him to rekindle again that sense of joy that he wants you and I to have. You see, I could have stood up reading this passage this morning. I could have looked at the example of Paul and even the example of great saints like David Klein. And I could have turned to you and to me and say, you could do this. I might have even been a bit bolder than that and said, you know, you should do this. And I might have sort of looked at myself and thought, well, I'm a good example. You know, if it was me, I would do this. But I don't want to offer you any coulds or shoulds or oughts this morning, because what I want to say is this. He can do this, the Lord Jesus, whatever your situation. The answer is Jesus. The answer to the storms and troubles and difficulties of life, the answer is Jesus. There is no other name in heaven on earth given that men and women might be saved. Saved not just from sin, saved not just from difficulties, but saved for life and living. Nicola, can I have one more minute? Maggie's nodding and saying no. I ought to listen to Maggie. Let me just put Paul's words up. Many of us will know Romans chapter 8, an incredible story, incredible words which speak about how God works in all things for good. And at the heart of it, that comes when you know you are loved by Jesus and that nothing can separate you from his love. Maybe, shall I just read these words over us? Nicola, why don't I hand over to you, and would you read these words over us? Oh, they're tiny writing. Maybe I should do it. Come and stand together and then I can hand over to you. Paul writes this. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. And then Paul writes, none of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Hallelujah.